from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
John, you had the Lions third in your...
My power rankings.
Power surge.
Yeah, power surge. Yep.
And Tom had an issue that you overreacted to week one. We only have week one.
We do only have week one.
And the Niners were the crisper team. They scored more points. They had a greater margin of victory. That's not a knock on the Lions. It's an acknowledgement. San Francisco looked better in week one.
Yeah. Through 1 week, they looked better. And now we're trying to figure out how good are the Rams. I think the Rams are really good. Did they beat a better opponent? Probably. Did they face a better defense? I don't think so. But this is where we are in week one is we're trying to decide. Cincinnati, they have a tradition now of losing the first game. But it doesn't mean that their season is in the tank and that they're not a good team. I didn't even talk about them as just being on the outside looking in. Green Bay, I think they're were a good team. Now, I don't think they're going to be with Malik Willis running the offense, who's been there for all of about, 16, 17 days. So things are going to drop off there. But there are some other teams that we're trying to figure out what they are. Indianapolis,
yeah.
I think they're a good team. And I think Anthony Richardson has an absolute rifle for an arm. They're a good defense, but they ended up losing to Houston. Was it just because Houston was so balanced offensively? Couldn't defend them? Couldn't find a way, but they were right there.
Can I give you the context of everybody else's power rankings, and we'll see how you did compared to the consensus?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I appreciate when someone else does the work for us, so I'll give them the credit. Pride of Detroit actually compiled all the other major sites' power rankings.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, hey, good stuff there.
Yeah, and I specifically don't look at those because I don't want to have somebody else's rankings in my head, which might affect mine.
The Lions, according to Monday Morning Quarterback from Connor Orr, the Lions are 2. They were 2 last week.
Okay.
USA Today's Nate Davis had the Lions at 2 last week. They stay at 2. Mm-hmm. Yahoo Sports had the Lions at 2 last week. John, like you, they bumped them down to 3.
Okay.
The Athletic had the Lions number 2 to kick off the season. They moved them all the way down to 5.
Wow. Ouch.
The Ringer had the Lions 2 last week and 2 this week. Sporting News 3 last week and 3 this week. That from Vinny Iyer. The 33rd team, which is like a newer site that's on the scene now, they had the Lions 3rd. And still 3rd, just to round this out, NFL.com has the Lions 3rd, CBS Sports has the Lions 4th. Everybody's got them in the top 5.
Yeah, those that have them 3rd, are they also, is it Kansas City and San Francisco 1-2?
Pride of Detroit didn't do that work for me, so I mean.
I
can click on it if you'd like.
No, that's okay.
But yeah, I would assume, right?
Right.
They're the reigning NFC champs, and they looked good in week one.
Yeah.
They're probably, if not the Lions, going to be the team ahead of them.
And some of it, to me, was the fact that I had major questions. One, about the health of Christian McCaffrey, what that would mean for them offensively. Last year, he goes down. Now, I know they also lost Trent Williams, and I think it was Deebo Samuel at the same time. So you're talking about a major part of their offense. They end up losing 3 in a row. And all of a sudden, Christian McCaffrey comes back and all is well with the world again. I am concerned throughout the course of the year with the, you know, Achilles / calf soreness. I don't know how they're labeling it in San Francisco, that it will affect him throughout the course of the entire season. How many games does he play? How effective is he? And, you know, but they were able to overcome that. And the fact that, you know, Trent Williams is only going to get better. I think Brandon Ayuk, there were some drops. I think those, the more reps he gets, the more balls thrown to him, he's only going to continue to get better. So, yeah, I think this is a team in San Francisco that, quite honestly, hit the ground running I didn't think would.
Let's get to the phones. John and Canton, you got a thought on this Lions team?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to say Zeitler, man, what an asset he is. I just watched the overtime over again last night. And that one play down by the goal line where they pushed that whole scrum, he was right in the middle down there. I mean, just, you know, powering their way. You know, I think him and Sewell together, they're going to be unstoppable.
I think in the run game, you're exactly right. I was a little concerned. Now, it was only a couple of reps, and it does take some time to develop more chemistry with your, you know, whether it's Frank at the middle or Sewell on the other side. The twist that the Rams ran to get the sack
early in the game, yeah.
Early in the game, I didn't like how he turned his shoulders. Now, you know, it's one play. It raised a red flag for me that I'm not sure in the pass protection he's able to move his feet well enough to adjust off of some of those.
The trade-off, though, him versus Jonah Jackson.
I'll take Zeiler. Right. Yes, I think that's an upgrade. To his point, yes, it's a great asset and a great upgrade.
And I think, too, there's two levels of it. It's what he did for the Lions, and it's what the Rams missed on Thursday last week. They missed him.
Yes, and one-on-one pass pro, I thought he did great. It's just a matter we're talking about some of the nuance and how teams will continue to attack. They're not going to rush Penei Sewell straight up. That's a no-win situation.
Right into a brick wall. Good luck.
Right. But if we can get them on different levels, if we can get a defensive tackle to hit Penei Sewell's hip, turn the shoulders of the guard, and then bring the defensive end edge rusher around, I think we'll see more of that until Zeiler proves that he can pick it up.
I just got a phone call from a guy who went back and watched the overtime drive. I'm sure he's not alone.
Oh, that is instant highlight, dreamy material.
Put it on a loop. I mean, that's Detroit Lions football. It's the identity of the team. We asked Dan Campbell about it yesterday, and it's like, yeah, new season, but that's still there.
Did you see, I know we had Brian Baldinger on Friday, and we're going to have him on every Friday.
Yeah,
I asked him about the offensive line, and he put together a little reel. I think it was on Monday he actually launched it, talking about the black and blue division and that final drive by the Lions. It was, when you watch, I would actually encourage everybody to go back and watch that. Watch the end zone cut, and you can see absolute perfect footwork and technique by Penei Sewell. If you're a high school offensive line coach, if you're a college offensive line coach, hello, Ann Arbor. Watch that footwork by Penei Sewell. It was textbook. It was unbelievable. It was so enjoyable to watch him, as it is a lot of times for those of us that nerd out on O-line play. He was perfect.
The overtime drive to me was like chicken noodle soup for the soul. Like anything that was bothering you for the game, like that just hit right where it needed to. That was everything you needed to see. Because, John, if we're being honest, for the first four quarters of that game, they were not playing up to a Super Bowl standard.
No.
And I know they won the game, but guys, we need to start having that conversation. That is the measuring stick all season long. Are you playing football at a Super Bowl caliber clip? There will be things to clean up, and I want to start the conversation there, John. You agree with me that wasn't Super Bowl caliber?
Correct.
So what needs to improve the most from week one to week two, or where are the areas that you want to see them improve?
I want to see them be better in pass protection. I'm not happy with Jared Goff taking, what is it, two sacks and was four or five more hits. Jared Goff is the key to this offense. Jared Goff is the key to this team. If he gets hurt in any way, shape, or form, even dinged up a little bit, it affects this offense. And if we're going to sit here and claim them as the best offensive line in the NFL, it's not just one drive in overtime that you've got to be perfect on and look amazing, but you've got to be consistently good at protecting your quarterback in a number of different situations. And they were in a large part, but not expecting perfection. I'm just expecting something more than what we saw in pass protection.
17 unanswered points.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That doesn't happen if you're winning a Super Bowl, right? That's got to be better as the season goes on. 17 unanswered is not just one side of the ball. 17 unanswered is both sides of the ball. It's the offense who couldn't convert third downs. Some of that's Goff. Some of that's the receivers slipping, timing early in the season. I'm not panicking, but that wasn't Super Bowl caliber. And then defensively, I like that they were getting in Stafford's face, forcing him to be a tough son of a gun and forcing him to get the ball out in a hurry from these awkward arm angles. But ultimately, he did move the ball up and down the field without Puka Nacua and without four offensive linemen. John, that stretch to me was what I reflect back on and go, that can't happen. 17 unanswered. Do I have to remind people about 17 points in the NFC title game a year ago?
No.
They have time to improve, but I think that was most jarring to me. That can't happen. That's unacceptable for a team with Super Bowl aspirations.
But to counter that, and you're right, that's not elite level play. I do think, I mean, as we all heard from Dan, we've heard this a number of times, they were getting the ball off real quick. But on the flip side, some of it is Aaron Glenn needs to adjust quicker how he is asking his corners, slot corners, his nickelbacks to play. You're going to have to play a little bit tighter coverage. Yes, it becomes risky, but that's a risk I'm willing to take if you have three backup offensive linemen and everybody playing out of place. You should be able to get home. There should not be enough time if you're playing press coverage, bump and run at the top of the route to be able to run anything of any depth.
The Lions get up via what Jamo's 52-yard bomb play down the field. They're up 17-3. You're a football team built on running the ball, right? Game over. Shouldn't go to a coin toss in overtime. The Rams' next three drives, 11 plays, 70-yard touchdown. 7 plays, 76-yard field goal. 10 plays, 80 yards touchdown.
What do you think? What did you see from the rebuilt secondary?
I saw Branch miss some tackles, and he owned it right away after the game. Yeah. Came up to Dan Campbell, said it's not going to happen. The over-pursuit on, it was the Johnson play. Yeah. Right? It was like, should have been like a 4 or 5 yard play. The guy's running down the sideline, over pursuit from Carlton Davis on that play. Like there was some issues tackling in the open field. They're going to get the ball out quick. Everybody knows it's going to Cooper Kupp. Can we bracket the guy? You know, I mean, John, I mean, there's some sheer point about adjustments from Aaron Glenn. Everybody knows he's getting the ball. He got targeted 21 times. He caught, 14 yeah. balls? I know they're motioning him. It's easier said than done. It's a point TJ made on Monday, but can you have trail coverage? Can you have high-low? Can you do something to keep him in a little box and force Matthew to scan the field? And if he's got to scan the field, John, that's when Dan Campbell's pass rush comes in right. and decapitates Matthew Stafford, no matter how tough he is.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to see some adjustments in the secondary. I thought for a brand-new group, the secondary is very comparable to me to the offensive line on offense. You've got to be on the same page. You've got to know what everybody's doing without seeing. It's got to be a feel. And I think they are still feeling each other out.
Understandable.
And building trust amongst each other. Now, you put a 10-year vet in the offensive line like Zeitler, there's instant trust because you don't get to be a 10-year vet without doing things the right way. And I think Penei Sewell, Frank, they've all been able to develop that trust in Zeitler. Now you've got Carlton Davis along with Brian Branch, who's only in his second year, along with a rookie, Terrion Arnold, Amik Robinson. Like, you've got a lot of new parts and new components in a machine that needs to be well-oiled and all churning and doing things at the same time. That's where I thought they played good, but is there room for improvement? Yes.
Yeah, and that's the key to this conversation. You think they're Super Bowl caliber. I think they're Super Bowl caliber. We got to hold them to the Super Bowl standard. So the question to Lions fans is, hey, better to have this conversation after a win. Where do they need to improve most week 1 to week 2 to be that Super Bowl caliber football team right now? 248-539-9797. Ticket Texter points out Kansas City lost the opener last year and still won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Right.
I mean, we've seen, what was it?
We get it.
Cincinnati started out 0-2.
Yep.
And they
went on to play in the Super Bowl.
Yes. So that's become a tradition in Cincinnati to lose week 1.
I don't like that tradition.
I would not be a fan of it, but it is one that you can overcome. And thankfully, we don't have to worry about that.
Ticket Texter says, what's impressive? This one says, my request may be unreasonable, but I want Terrion Arnold to get all his growing pains out before they play the Niners late in the season. And we've talked about that. The idea that Tyrion Arnold is going to get a little bit of a baptism by fire. He's going to go out there and he's going to learn the speed of the NFL game, what he can get away with, try to avoid some of those calls while still playing aggressive because it's who he is and it's why they drafted right. him. And he's going to figure that out over the course of 4 or 5 weeks, 5, 10 weeks. By the time they play the Niners late in the season, you hope he is not playing like a rookie corner.
Here's what one thing that I really liked about the defense, and that was the linebacker play. And you look at the tackle totals, Alex Anzalone is always at the top of the list because he's all over the place. He really did set the tone, especially with the three tackles for loss. But on that first play, he really did set the tone. I thought Jack Campbell is taking all the steps I thought he would take in year two. But then you look and say, well, how come Carlton Davis, Tyrion Arnold, Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph are all in the top five or six? When you have a quarterback that throws the ball 49 times, then your leading tacklers are going to be your defensive backs.
Yeah, I mean, that's just going to be common sense.
If you looked at it and said, hey, they ran the ball 35 times and your leading tacklers were defensive backs, now you've got concern.
That's an uh-oh. That's a yikes. 248-539-9797. I just wonder if we can have an honest conversation. I know everybody's jacked up about the Lions. Everybody's excited about the Lions. We're all happy they won. But they did give up 17 unanswered points, which was a huge red flag at the end of last year. It's fortunate that they won that coin toss. Because I don't know what happens if they lose that coin toss. I'm thrilled with the way that they just manhandled LA in overtime. But John, if they lose that coin toss, we may be talking very differently this week because they didn't get it done in regulation. They had the ball with the top five offense at the end of regulation and they kicked a field goal. I hope we can have that conversation without people overreacting. Like, we can talk about things that need to improve with our football team without burying them.
Sure. I mean, and that's the risk you run of nitpicking the team. But that's... We don't have a team that we were talking about in 19, in 20, in 21, where you're looking at the worst defense in the NFL. You're looking at the worst roster. You can't protect the quarterback. There's a lot of things to talk about in terms of what needs to be better from week to week, or hopefully you get there by the end of the year. Right now, we're talking about a team that is capable of putting together a Super Bowl run. And we are trying to find ways, we're nitpicking because there's no drama off the field. Like, okay, what's the drama? Aleem McNeil doesn't have an extension. Okay, well, he's still on his rookie contract.
John, I don't even think it's nitpicking. Like, it's grading on a curve. When your team's not expected to win a Super Bowl, you maybe get a little grace on some stuff. When you're expected to win a Super Bowl, everything's under the microscope. Welcome to being a team of this caliber. You're going to have things that you focus on, fixate on, and it may sound like nitpicking, but it's out of a deep-seated care, a deep-seated expectation for this football team.
So in the preseason, when you're nitpicking, you're talking about who's going to be QB2 and who's your kicker.
Right.
During the regular season, when you're nitpicking, you're talking about an offensive line that you expect to be the best in the NFL. They showed it in overtime, but where was it throughout the first four quarters? At times, yes, but they need to be near perfect in terms of pass protection, and I didn't see that. Defensively, if you're going to be a team that wins a Super Bowl and not give up a ball that goes off your face mask into the arms of a receiver, you've got to find ways to knock that ball out. Tyrion Arnold, don't want to take away the aggressiveness or the coverage skills that he showed, but can you coach it up and can you make an adjustment so that when you're in the back left corner of the end zone that you turn and look for the ball and you knock it down or it hits you in the middle of the back or possibly you intercept it instead of a PI call and they get the ball at the one?
No, it's valid. I mean, listen, we have a football team that's 1-0, and we're all very excited. We also have a football team that blew a 17-point lead and had to go to overtime in week one. I think we can still talk about that, I would hope.
What was it? 14-point lead.
Excuse me, 17 unanswered,
yes.
A 14-point lead.
Well, words matter.
Words matter. Facts matter as well, John. Thank you. You know, John, thank you. Thank you for being real-time ticket text for me, because if you didn't do it, it was going to be flooded into the ticket text.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.